Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along.
Hey, you know we can do the boogaloo, the flop, the mashed potatoes, and the black eyed peas, green onions, too. How y'all doing this morning? Ooh, it's nice out this morning. I think the weather is kind of cool. It's going to get warmer later, but it's nice. You know, ain't nothing like getting up. I used to get up early in the morning and go for a walk, like over there by the museum. You know, that's a whole Japanese garden back there. So pretty. It was so beautiful and peaceful. It's torn up now, but it was just beautiful. I just get up and walk by the lake. It was just so beautiful, but you dare not. You have to be careful now when you do it, don't you? But something about getting up early, and, you know, it's a song, I come to the garden alone, why the dew is still on the roses. That's a real song, whoever wrote that, and say, and he walks and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. That's a song we used to sing in church when I was growing up. We sing it sometime now, but you can really feel it and say, and he walks with me and he talks to me and he tells me I'm his own. His voice so sweet, the birds heard still singing. That's something to be said in that. When you watch nature, then you have to know there's a God. Good morning. How y'all doing? Today I'm going to be talking about education, y'all, so y'all can get ready and put your education hat on. We're going to talk about education, and we're going to talk a little politics, too. Because the politics is heating up. Might talk more politics next week, but I got to get ready for the education of the kids going back to school. I couldn't talk too much on it last week. I didn't talk too much, but the children are back in school. So let's talk about education this morning, because I have a great concern about the education of our children. As you know, I don't have any children, grandchildren in the Chicago Public Schools anymore. When my children was young, they all went to the Chicago Public Schools. Rather than run from it, we fought for it. But most of your elites, and elites is getting stronger too, y'all. Y'all better look while y'all joining these fights. These fights is getting to be a little elitist. The so-called elites or so-called leaders and elected officials, they have children. They don't have them in the public schools. They do have them in the elitist public schools. It's a shame because we've lost several generations who do not know how to read. You ever heard your children talk? How they talk and what they say and how they say it. And they get upset because they don't compute, really. And it's not all their fault. It's these people we are paying to come in these schools and teach our children, or the Board of Education. All of this. You know, they passed a law that in 2023 that illegals can vote on the elected school board. I'm very worried about the elected school board, but I'll come back to that in a minute. So our children are in school. And they said parents don't care, and that's not true. I've always said that the parents care about their children, whether they're drunkies, whether they're dopies, whether they're whatever they are, whether they gossip mouth, or whether they just don't understand. And that's why they get up and send their children to school every morning, hoping that they can have a better life and that they should learn. But when they get into the school system right now is really screwed up because the emphasis is not on reading, math, writing, science, music, and none of that. The emphasis is on pronouns that have nothing to do with adjectives, real pronouns, and real verbs. How do you construct a sentence, the parts of a sentence, the parts of a... They're not, they're talking about whether you should call somebody he, she, or it. And I just think that stuff don't have no place in the schools. We got to try to get back to education so that our children to can want to... You can spark their little... Take their little mind. I know I had one of the... I had a doctor, Dr. Hill. At least Dorothy and Jim, at least I'm there. Dorothy at Dorothy's camp she had this summer. She brought, you know, she brought different scientists and different doctors, different experts to talk to the children and let them see things. So the last one she had was that Monday before the camp closed. And Dr. Hill, who's on the board of Northwestern, he's also a teacher over there, and he's a doctor over there, ortho doctor. And so he was the last one to come give a presentation and interact with the children. And he said it was amazing. He think he hoped he got a few scientists out of there. The question those children asked and how intelligent they was, and you can tell how well that Dorothy Genius Camp had worked with them, or how good the all of those youth and stuff was because of their questions they asked. And he had, he said, well, you know, I think I might have got me a couple of scientists out of that. He thinks so. He said, yeah, because one of them was so intriguing. The question that one was asked, and he said, if you get the right kind of education, I think you got a little scientist. And the little bad one that they've been working with the whole summer, who really turned out to be good because he was in the camp, he said, I was that little boy. Look at me now. And I started laughing. But they got exposed to a lot of different things in life. They went different places. They saw different things. Different stuff came to them. Plus, they learned about different things while they were there. So I said, yeah. And I'm thinking about the periodic table. The children don't know nothing about no math. They don't even, we had to learn our timetable before we ever left elementary school. They don't know about fraction, division. I don't see who's your mathematic teachers in these schools. Are these teachers proficient in their schools? Do you have teachers who are really proficient in English? They're around here telling, they're telling our children that they don't have to learn. And if you go to some of these other places, and you'll see that they are learning. And some of them, so they're saying they're using a disguise that the folks, the kids, the children don't, come close the door for me, the children they don't speak English, so they give them a bilingual teaching, but at the same time, they're teaching them math and science and all the other stuff, getting them prepared to take over. Somebody got to run the country. You got to have doctors. You got to have all these different things. And they, so they're getting them ready. That's why I noticed I had a very good team of doctors, a very good team when I was in the hospital. But the funny thing about it was, wasn't nobody black in that team that was there. And I saw some of the blacks around, and some folks who was, and we got a lot from the diaspora. Some of them are there, but a lot of not black Americans are blacks. And you say, why? I mean, what's the difference between their brains and our brains? Why is it that they want to? You got a Malcolm X. I met two of Malcolm X about 4 or 5 years ago, and they got a hell of a program over there, and lobotomy, dentistry, all that stuff. And most of our children weren't even in there. And the question is why? Not that they don't want to be, but their minds are not pricked. And they're over there teaching them, this is some crazy stuff. I was looking at how many local school council was not filled. And I'm laughing about the ones that not feel, because we need to talk about the history of the local school council. We need to talk, when we know the history of the local school council, then we'll understand what's going on. When the history of the local school council, Jessica, come close this door for me. When the history of the local school council is not... when the history of the local school council is not how it came about, then you understand why it's empty now. Let me talk about a local school council in Chicago. Okay, I think it was in the 70s, maybe 79, 80. Mollison parents who went on strike and we fought, they were way back then. They began to transfer because Eben and Jimmy was in school, and they were able to transfer, and Jamil, they began to move what they were teaching. And one of the things they did was they had continuous progress mastery learning. In the continuous progress mastery learning, it wasn't grades. It was like you didn't have grades, you had levels. And the teachers had like 3 and 4 levels in their classrooms trying to teach them. And the parents really didn't know and didn't understand. When you saw your child with an A, you thought it was A's and thought it was this and that. But within the, what made me get involved, because now you got to remember, you had PTA, you had the local advisory council, not the local school council, local advisory council, and the parents was very involved in the schools. That's how we noticed. We was up there baking, I used to bake bread, bake cookies, sell, and then we had these districts where the parents would get together in the districts from the PTA, local advisory council. We would talk about our schools and talk about things we were doing, and then you had the national. But you got to ask, what happened to the PTA? It went away after the local advisory, local school council, it went away. So being up there, and I know when I walked Jimmy and Ebony into Mollison, that they could read, they could write. In fact, Ebony was doing math. She can do a little. She could do a little subtraction, and she did adding. And she was learning her timetables before she was even 5 years old, or about five. And so they were learning this. And then my children could read because I've always read to them. And, you know, books have always been very important to my children and to, in our household. And when I found, I was one night, Jimmy was struggling at the kitchen table. I said, boy, what's wrong with you? And I really got on him because of him not knowing that little bit of stuff. And that's when I went up to the school and I found out that the levels and stuff they had was not correct. And I was punishing him for no reason. And that's when we had a PTA meeting, Parent Teachers Association meeting, and Carolyn Miles suggested that we boycott. And I said to her, and the parents were there, and I asked them, are they sure they wanted to do that? But the first thing before we decide to boycott, you have to explain stuff to people. I believe that given the right information, people will respond. But you got so many people not giving our parents information, and they really don't know. But what we did before that, we took the continuous progress, we made a flyer, and we broke down what continuous progress meant because it wasn't progressing. That if your child was this age, this is what he should be, but if he's on level A, and he's this age, he's really failing. We broke that stuff all down, and we found out that the whole school was failing. There was only one child on a fourth grade level, and that was an eighth grade student. And that's when we brought it to the PTA and to the parent meeting. And it was packed because we put the flyers out. We waited till after school, and we put those flyers out to the children to take home to their parents. And they started finding out what their children was at, what grade level their children was at. And Carolyn Bauer said, we can't do this. We have to boycott. I said, boy, you know what you're talking about? Because they didn't know my expertise working with Dr. King anything, and that I was a field staff organizer on direct action with Dr. King. They didn't know that because I was just being a mother. For once in life, I could just be a mother, bake bread, go to PTA, and don't be bothered because I had been involved for so long since I was young. And I told him, if we're going to do this, you can't do it. Just by, you can't do this. You're not going to be able to do this just by saying you're boycotting because parents are going to break the boycott. They got to have some place in their children. And also they have to, we got to fix food. There's a lot goes into this. So they agreed that they was willing to do it. And I said, then we got to be picketing. We can't be, you know, we got to lay this stuff out. And we found several, Freedom Schools, an Alpha, Alpha Phi Alpha. I have to give it to James Hill and Donna Trotter, the young brothers who was Alphas, Castrogers, and all the old brothers. They didn't want us in the Alpha house. We put the children, the older children at the Alpha house. We had the younger children at the house on 44th and Calumet, these miles on, a little one in the back and in the front, a big house. Well, we kind of broke it down, and then Russ Vannoy, Juanita Vannoy's uncle, Juanita Jordan's uncle, Russ Vannoy became our principal, and we laid out a curriculum. And we worked very closely with Lou Palmer, talking drums. We told him what we were going to do and how we needed this help. And we talked to several folks on GCI, on JPC, that was Johnson Publishing Radio, and some of the other ones on V103, and told them what we were going to do. And we told our parents what to tune into to find out. So we had a, when the boycott hit, we had an 80% effective boycott. Eventually got to be 90, and it blew everybody's mind, because what we said was that we don't want to. What we're going to do is Christmas is coming, and after they're not going back to school in January. Keep them out. It's better to keep. It's easy to keep them out than it is to pull them out, and that's what we did. Why am I telling y'all this? Once the parents found out what was going on with their children, it was really their fight, willing to fight for their children, but they didn't know. I didn't know until I had dug down into that mess. And really saw what these folks was teaching. And that's why parents need to be up in these schools more than anything now, because it's worse than that. And so what we did was, I told the parents, they started hollering about who wasn't out there, who wasn't doing this. I said, well, the fact that they kept their children home is good enough for me. Those of us who are committed have to do our work, because we're committed to doing this. But those parents who are not doing it, why are you complaining? That they kept their children out of school. Had they sent their children to school? See, sometimes we be arguing over things that's not relevant. And to me, the parents who kept their children home was just as important as the parents who was walking the picket lines, the parents who was cooking the dinner, the parents who was teaching, and all of those things. They was just as important. And that they thought the boycott was going to last for a day. But it lasted. I mean, it really lasted. In fact, Miss Stevens was the principal. She had been locking our children up in the vault. We locked her up in the vault. She almost went crazy. We said, well, you put our children in the vault, how you think they feel? They're little bitty children, just like now what they're doing to these children. And we went to jail almost every day. I mean, we were thrown in jail. We were really, but we were fighting. The parents was willing to fight for their children. I'm trying to tell you the history of the local school council. And we fought real hard. And we won. It was interesting when the Mollison children went back to Mollison, their grade level had jumped way over, because we insisted on the Basil Reader, that they bring the Basil Reader back. And most folks don't understand that, and that they did. They teach phonics and things they had to teach. And we fought, and we filed a lawsuit against Continuous Progress, and we won. We won because they was using the phonics and the Basil Reader for folks who were supposed to be slow, and the other children, they won. And these children, it was really terrible. So we won that lawsuit. Then they came in, not at the magnet schools, but in the elitist school, but at schools like Mollison. Then they tried to ease in mastery learning. Negroes are heroes who need potatoes and tomatoes on the hill of Bigfoot. Mussolini was a hero. Dr. King was this. That's part of this mess they're doing now. But it was a little different. So we fought. We fought against mastery learning, the Mollison parents, and we won that suit because we're saying that you don't have equal teaching. You're not teaching this in these elitist schools. You're not teaching this in the magnet schools. Why are you giving our children this mess? And mastery learning was invented by the University of Chicago. I got this book, y'all. Well, University of Chicago came with Master of Learning. But who put the curriculum together was Bo and her husband out of Philadelphia, out of the basement. And because they had it in Chicago, Creature Caruso was there at the end, too. We call her Creature Caruso. Miss Caruso put it in there. But because they put it in Chicago public schools, they were able to put it in other places. So we fought and we won that. Out of that, parents throughout Chicago started checking their children and seeing what was going on with their children. they found out their children weren't learning too. This is before the suit was finished, and they was having problems. So we went school by school, and we had workshops, and we had boot camps, and we trained parents about continuous progress, master learning, what to go back and look for. And we called boot camp, we trained them how to fight and what to do. Out of that parent equalizer, that's how I met a lot of parents. The parents began to be in control because we was already have the local advisory council. You could advise on the, you could advise on the curriculum. And then you had the PTA, which means parents was always in the schools. And we was up there. We was on the campus. We was walking. We was with our children. Children saw us. So then what you had was, after we had, after we got most of our parents organized, we even had an office downtown. I told y'all that before, on Van Buren next to Runny. We closed down because we gave Harold Washington our office to have an office downtown. But all your, after this, during this time, I'm going fast forward, and all of your business people, all of these folks came out real hard. They got really scared that the parents were getting power because they wanted to go where they wanted to go. They was trying to create this elitist class where some folks was dumbing down and other folks were getting this, and they saw we were fighting. We had about 75% of the public schools mobilized. The elitist schools the only one didn't join us because they didn't have the problem we had. Your magnet schools and other schools like that. So if you remember, when they started the local school council, they had signs everywhere. Be a member of the local school council, sponsored by this business, sponsored by that business. And they went on, and the state legislator passed a bill to be able to put these local school councils in charge of these schools, which then knocked out the local advisory council, because we could advise. We couldn't make them do it, but we was able to look at the books and do things. That's what we was able to do things. Then knocked out the PTA, and then they began to move parents up out of the school, saying, you can't come into school, you can't do this, and they started restricting. But make no mistake about it, it was big business, and a lot of your other folks and your politicians who pushed the local school council. Now you got a lot of local school councils they haven't even filled. They can't fill the local school council. Most of these folks went there for political reasons, and they really, and those who was trying to really do something, you know, those are the ones, the teachers, because the teachers on there, principal, whoever they want, they would come down on these people who were really trying to do something because they really didn't want nothing done. What they was doing is pushing parents out of the schools. And the reason they pushed them, they didn't want us there. So now here we are. And you got to remember, Jimmy and the graduate, everything, you know, I got great grands now. So now here we are in a situation where parents don't know what the hell is going on. They're sending their children to school every day. They think sex and all that stuff is more important. They took music out of the schools. Science and math they don't know because they don't have proficient English and math and science teachers. So our children are really in trouble. They can't read. They're functionally illiterate. There's a study that you can look that says that most of our children are way behind in grade level, way behind in math, no signs. Then they began to close down the vocational schools. So it was all set up. So now here we are, 2022. You had the 21-22 school year, now going 22-23, where they have, they took away, the state had where, the mayor would appoint the school board members and the president of the board. They had to come before the city council. And in that city council, we had educated the parents so much until, because we that's how we got Harold in. We changed Street of Mind when they came before the Board of Education. We was parents had a right to speak. We fought. That's how we got Manfred Byrd there. That's how we fought when they got rid of Michael Scott. We fought because we had the power, because the elected officials, they came and put elected officials and the parents was acting. So they took that away and put power, all the power in the mayor's hand. So you don't have any say-so. That's what they did. But the parents did have a big voice when they had to come before the council. The same thing with CHA. So you saw the disenfranchisement of the people, the power to the people. You saw that disenfranchisement. Even after Harold got in, they got nervous because we used to have a Republican Democrat. So then they did, some of y'all don't even know, this is all together. Then they did the no, you don't have to have a Republican. You had a Republican primary and a Democratic primary. And because Harold won, they said they'll never have it again. So then they said the Springfield got rid of Republican and a Democratic primary. They made it the two highest vote getter, non-partisan, which was a game. Most folks don't know that. Like most folks don't know that the board, county board, there used to be members of the county board. We fought against them having, they had at large. Strojan was at large until we fought to make sure they got stuff. There's a lot of stuff that happened, and they saw the empowerment of the people, and then a lot of laws and things put in place to disenfranchise, especially black people, who was waking up and beginning to pay attention to what was going on. So our elected officials didn't fight back down there. They sit there and let these folks disenfranchise us. You know, they just took stuff away from us. So you got parents sending their children to school. You can't go to school. You can't get in there. And you don't even know what they're teaching. I got a lot of stuff that I ain't going to talk about now in terms of the resolution for policy determining schools' accountability statute and some other things that they got that they done put on us. Even, I think, what's that, 619, whatever that, 619, whatever that thing they have put in place for our black history in the place of what Shalem did along with what we were doing. They did the black history must be taught in the schools, but they sitting on that, but they gave the Asian, the Chinese, next year you have to teach all of the history, their civil rights, their economics, what they contributed to this country. But in us, they done snuck in and eased in the 619 project to make you think you got something the same way I told you they did you with Juneteenth. So when you looking at what's going on our children, it's important that our children education, that they educated. If we don't educate our children, we're just gone as a people. We have to have doctors. We have to have lawyers. We have to have artists and trades. We have to have things that we need to sustain a community. But we used to say a mind is a terrible thing to waste. They're wasting our children's mind, and they're telling them that you ain't no girl, you a boy. They're telling them that you don't have to respect your parents in so many ways because I'm your teacher or I'm the school board. It's really an elitist thing being said of what they're going to take these poor children and really have them not being able to do critical thinking, whereas they're going to have the other elitist folks. I'm telling you, you should look at these schools, look at this. And then they said most of the black children, there was an article in the paper I read, I think it was a Wire, that said that most black children are failing in college. Why are they failing? Because they was not taught how to think. I mean, they think they are, but critical thinking is very important. You know, when we were growing up, they would say, how do you get your children? How do you get, you got, my grandma would say, girl, you got to be able to take your way out of a paper bag. They used to say all those kind of things. That's because you have to think critical. And we've always been able to think critical from the time that we got here from the transatlantic slave. That's why we made it. That's how we got doctors, and that's how we got lawyers, and that's how we got, that's how we was able to build schools, and that's how you got the first open heart surgery, all the things we did, because we were always a critical thinking people. And most of this stuff in this country, the foundation came from critical thinking of black people. So how do you move from that to this? There's something wrong with this picture. And if y'all don't see that, there's something wrong with you. It used to be that when a person made it in the black community, they made it also for the black community. You know, they came back and they built things. They built Howard, Fisk, Booker T. Washington talked to Teddy Roosevelt and built Tuskegee Institute. The Airmen, we're going to talk about and celebrate the Airmen, but they could think. The Tuskegee Airmen, and you think about all these folks that we could think, because we've always been a great thinkers and great minds. The smart ones came here. They brought the smart people who had trades and stuff. You know, I was reading an article in the trio where Mr. Powell was saying that how his father had him out there when he was 15. Well, I don't. When I was growing up down south, every boy knew how to build something. You know, and it was something, but we got these folks got us all mixed up here. And I'm a really a little, see y'all woke up, I'm a little, just a little sad. And we got to do something to turn this around. I don't know, I don't have the answer. But we should be up and enraged by these folks teaching our kids something about sex and all the other stuff, not teaching them math, not teaching them science, do not have music in the schools. Because then, you know, if you don't have culture, you act like savages. You got to understand who you are, and what you can do, what the ability. It's a crime what they're doing to our children. But the more crime is what those who know better not fighting for those who don't know better. Because I believe that given the right information, I've always believed the people will respond. And we got those who have reaped the educational and the political benefits of our movement, of our struggle. And they just started, I did this because I'm doing. No, you didn't. We've always been smart. We always had ability. But we had to be ahead. We had to fight for the public. You know, we had to fight to be able to get equality. But right now, there's no fight in the public square for black children, for black people. What our leadership is doing, they are waiting to get their talking point. What's their talking points this week? Their talking points this week, oh, they're going to get Trump. Y'all got to be out of y'all dumb mind. Oh, what about Joe Biden? All those crazy, just keep you all going through that stuff and you're not focusing on the most precious thing, our children. The most precious thing is our community so that we can sit at that table, brother, Dr. King was talking about, so we can have, our, you know, not just your children. Children don't have no imaginary boundaries. Love has no imaginary boundaries. They're going to bring them home. So we got to do something. I don't have the answer. Maybe you do. But the local advisory, local school council was a myth to get parents out. And now here we are, all over your major cities, most of your major cities and a lot of your southern towns are not as bad. You have children who cannot read. You have children who just, it's just, and those people who made it have taken their goodies and taken it somewhere else instead of coming back and building our community. Now, when you think about those who don't have any children and they got all this money, won't they come back and help us? I think the churches is going to help. We're going to get back into it some more because I got to take. Do I have to take a break? Huh? Talk of Chicago, I got to take a break and I'm going to come back and I'm going to take a couple of calls and then I guess we'll be going. But this is what we're talking about, education, y'all, this morning. And it's interesting. If we ain't talking about somebody, folks just run away. When you start talking about solutions and trying to do something for our children and do something for our community, people pull back. There must be a discussion in the public square. Talk of Chicago, 69.VUN. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.thevun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. And you can also get us on Google. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me right here. It's a great WVON, the city of Chicago. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'll be gone for a minute. Come on back and talk to me.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
If you or anyone you know is seeking a trade or contract opportunity in the city of Chicago, Reverend Jesse Jackson and the African American Contractors Association are here to help. On Saturday, August 27th, Rainbow Push will host the 18th annual Contractors Day program from 8 to 11 a.m. to showcase the lucrative opportunities within construction and trade industries. Good jobs, good pay. Come to the conference to learn how to earn. Jobs are available for flaggers, forklift operations, unarmed security, lead removal, and more. Be sure to bring your appetite. A backyard barbecue will be in full effect with live entertainment, food, and networking opportunities from noon until 3 p.m. Save the date. The 18th annual Contractors Day will take place at Rainbow Push on 930 East 50th Street on the second floor on Saturday, August 27th. Good jobs, good pay. Call ACCA at 312-915-5960. That's 312-915-5960.
Drivers using handheld devices are four times more likely to get into a crash that injures the driver or others. That's why, in Illinois, it's against the law to use a handheld device while behind the wheel. This behavior can result in a costly ticket or worse. Drop it and drive. It's not a game. Visit itsnotagameillinois.com to learn more.
Martins International, Bronzeville Academy Charter School, and WVON AM 1690 present R&B great Life Jennings, legendary R&B funk band Lakeside, and Reggae Grammy nominee Itana at the 6th Annual Jerk Seafood and Vegan Fest, Saturday and Sunday, September 10th and 11th, Washington Park, 55th and Cottage Grove. Come enjoy a real taste of jerk, seafood, and vegan cuisines, along with music, arts, crafts, games, and more for the entire family. Also a house music showcase featuring DJs Terry Hunter and Gene Hunt. Performances by reggae dancehall diva D'Angelo, WBNA official DJ Malik Shabazz, Three Piece, Crucial Conflict, Cold Heart, and other world music acts. For tickets and more information, visit www.jsvfest.com, Eventbrite, or call 312-427-0266. It's a carnival of food, music, and more. Also sponsored by NBC Chicago Telemundo, Chicago Park District, Rogers Park Fruit Market, La Frutiera, Old World Market, and yes, WVON.
It's the semi-annual and customer appreciation sale at Dress to Impress. Now through Labor Day, everything in the store is 50% off. For all shoe lovers, the entire dress shoe department at Dress to Impress is 50% off. All skin shoes from top brands like Meslon, David Eaton, Mari, and Belvedere shoes are half off. All business suits, fitted and fashion suits are 50% off. All blazers and sport jackets at Dress to Impress are 50% off. All slacks, wool, or linen are 50% off. The entire selection of walking and casual sets are 50% off. Plus, the entire selection of big and tall at Dress to Impress is 50% off. All accessories, including dress hats, belts, ties, bow ties, cologne, and cufflinks are 50% off. The year's deepest discounts are going on now. The semi-annual and customer appreciation sale at Dress to Impress. And it's now through Labor Day. On-site alterations at all three locations. 1005 East Sibley and Dalton, 9537 Southwestern in Chicago, and 4451 West Lincoln Highway in Matteson. Dress to Impress.
Greetings, WVON family. It's your brother and friend, Bamani Obadeli of the Activist Hour. Join me on Saturday mornings as we discuss a holistic and public health approach to addressing community violence. We will also be discussing ways that we can create a safe, peaceful, economically thriving, and healthy communities. Join me Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. on WVON for the Activist Hour.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
Say it loud, say it loud. My board is lit up. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm trying to see what to do here because I went on with the history and time and got by. I'm going to try to maybe need them. I've been waiting a long time. And the rest of y'all, y'all stay online if I go on break. I do have a few lines open. I'm going to try to open up some before I go and let y'all, you know, and we can, don't y'all go to where the lines. I just got a couple of lines, a few lines open that y'all can call in. But I'm going to take Anita. Anita?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
My favorite topic. I stayed home to take care of my children and make sure they could get through the system and get through college, at least if they wanted to use academics to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest problem is the church, is not just the church, the Jewish synagogue. I don't know about the Muslims now, but I think they've gone backwards in time. They've allowed all kind of conceptions of the family to come out. The Muslims still believe in the men being the provider and the women having children. And the Jewish community, I don't see it. And the Christian community have stopped having children. Okay?
I think that,
and you can't do it.
I think that the Christian community need to open up more Christian schools. They need to spend some time coming together to open up some schools to teach these children values. Most of the preachers get up in the pulpit hollering and jumping around, but they need to think about how do we get together and open up some Christian schools and I think and whatever and teach these children values. Thank you, Anita. Thank you so much. Okay.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings to you. Tomorrow is my Earth Day birthday.
Happy birthday.
Earth Day birthday. You got to give credit to both. We cannot continue to enter into this world on a live foot. Your mama did the birthing. Your mama did the labor. Your mama did the work. You got born, but you were alive for 9 months before she did the labor.
Okay, now we're going to talk about education now, Mama D.
So we've got to get the language straight. Indigenous, NAAs, Indigenous Native American Africans are the only ones over here that are, that English is our mother tongue language. We are not bilingual. And when they're coming up with all these jobs that's saying bilingual preferred, it's leaving us out. And this information, our black history is going over into the homosexual history category. And we better wake up and smell the coffee and demand our human rights.
Now, you know, one of the things is that when you talk about our history, that 1619 project they're talking about, and also the president of the Board of Education said he intended to make sure all children be bilingual with Spanish and English. Did you see where he said that?
But that's what that, it's a constitutional right. In order to be a citizen, you got to be naturalized. And you have to read, write, and speak English in order to be a citizen, and only citizens can legally vote in federal, state, and local elections. And they are tricking us with this disinformation, which is different from misinformation.
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Mama D. Thank you, and I expound on that in, at the 7 o'clock hour. Thank you so much, Mama D. Do I have time to take one more call? Okay. Art?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine.
I'm very proud of you that today you laid out the military strategy on how to take control.
Can I take a break? Okay, go on.
I'm proud of you because you just laid out the military strategy how to take control of your neighborhood and your community, and that's the first start of developing a code of conduct.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to issue our consequences for those black men and women who violate the code of conduct for black people.
Well, you have to have a code of conduct. We agree on that one. You said it time you called, but we agree on that one. What we got to do is come up with what we're going to do about these children and how we're going to deal with it. We got to make sure these churches, whatever, we got the template, and we got to go.
Right, and that's why you got to hold them to this. The code should be, if you break the code of the black community and the black family, here's the consequences. You, your family will be ostracized if you take the bag and sell out your community and black people for your self-benefit.
Well,
there has to be a consequence for those men and women who does that.
Got to be, because they're reaping the education, political, and economic benefits. And once they get to where they're going, they don't care. And there's no discussion in the public square about what's the future of the black community in this country. Thank you so much. I got to go, he said. I got to go. Y'all, I got a few lines. Y'all can get in, and we're going to continue this discussion on the other side. Coffee Tea in the Conversation with me on number 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.von.com. On iHeartRadio, check us out. You go in this great WVON. You can also listen to us on Blog Talk if you miss us. Get your coffee, get your tea. I think I'll be gone about 8 minutes, y'all. I got a few lines. If you want to talk, you better call now. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Republican approval was low, sitting at 12%.
Louisville, Kentucky's largest Jewish community organization is being criticized for hiring a police officer who was at the scene of two high-profile killings of black people by police. The Black Information Network's Mike Moore has the details.
Josh Judah is a retired lieutenant colonel with the Louisville Metro Police Department. He was hired to serve as a security advisor for the group, the Jewish Community of Louisville, which includes Louisville's Jewish Community Center and Jewish Federation. Judah was on the scene when police carried out a deadly raid on Breonna Taylor's apartment, as well as when a Louisville restaurant owner was shot and killed after firing at police and National Guard troops. I'm Mike Moore on the Black Information Network.
Infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci believes by the time he leaves his position at the White House, COVID will be treated like the flu. Speaking with National Public Radio, he foresees COVID becoming an endemic by December of this year. This comment comes just a few months after Fauci said the country was out of the pandemic phase. Today, restrictions and guidelines to prevent spread are more relaxed. Meanwhile, Dr. Anthony Fauci told MSNBC, it's never really a good time to leave, but you have to leave sometime.
Kodak Black is willing to do what it takes to ensure the survival of people of Haiti. The rapper is donating $50,000 worth of water to the island. The alkaline water bottles say last because Kodak wants this to be the last time anyone in Haiti goes without water. As soon as the shipment arrives, Kodak and his team are going to work with the government officials to make sure it gets to those who need it most. For more insight on Haiti 1 year after a devastating earthquake struck, tune into The Black Perspective this Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Black Information Network. I'm Alexandria Ikamoni with Ray Harris on your home for 24/7 News, The Black Information Network.
Although black people make up just 13% of the United States population, they make up about 35% of people with kidney failure in the U.S. Kidney disease in black people is a major public health issue, deeply rooted inequities in income, housing, education, employment, and other areas contribute to the disproportionate burden of kidney failure borne by black people. This is Dana Devine, host of Equal Health, Equal Hope. This Saturday, we'll also discuss the fear many have of the medical system due to a long history of racist practices. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Listen to Equal Health, brought to you by Equal Hope. Everyone deserves the best possible health care.
This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense, so bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
Over the past 2 years, Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas and her Black Houses Matter show on WVON have returned more than $100 million to Cook County homeowners.
$142,250,000, $369 to date given back in the African American community.
That's a whole lot of dough. Listen every Monday at 11:30 a.m. to Black Houses Matter. Spread the word. Maria Pappas is on the air every Monday, and she's bringing that bag to the station where it pays to listen. We're WVON.
What a wonderful world. Yeah, it's a wonderful world.
It's the semi-annual and customer appreciation sale at Dress to Impress. Now through Labor Day, everything in the store is 50% off. For all shoe lovers, the entire dress shoe department at Dress to Impress is 50% off. All skin shoes from top brands like Meslon, David Eaton, Mari, and Belvedere shoes are half off. All business suits, fitted and fashion suits are 50% off. All blazers and sport jackets at Dress to Impress are 50% off. All slacks, wool, or linen are 50% off. The entire selection of walking and casual sets are 50% off. Plus, the entire selection of big and tall at Dress to Impress is 50% off. All accessories, including dress hats, belts, ties, bow ties, cologne, and cufflinks are 50% off. The year's deepest discounts are going on now. The semi-annual and customer appreciation sale at Dress to Impress. And it's now through Labor Day. On-site alterations at all three locations. 1005 East Sibley and Dalton, 9537 Southwestern in Chicago, and 4451 West Lincoln Highway in Matteson. Dress to Impress.
Summer is winding down and students are heading back into the classroom. To prepare your student for a healthy and successful school year, Access Community Health Network offers complete and affordable school and sports physical exams, free COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccines for anyone 6 months or older. With 35 locations throughout the Chicagoland area, completing your child's mandatory school physical is convenient and easy. Visit hchn.net to find a location nearest you, or call 866-267-2353 to schedule an appointment today. Discover how good health makes a successful school year possible with Access.
Martins International, Bronzeville Academy Charter School, and WVON AM 1690 presents R&B great Life Jennings, legendary R&B funk band Lakeside, and Reggae Grammy nominee Etana at the 6th Annual Jerk Seafood and Vegan Fest, Saturday and Sunday, September 10th and 11th, Washington Park, 55th and Cottage Grove. Come enjoy a real taste of jerk, seafood, and vegan cuisines, along with music, arts, crafts, games, and more for the entire family. Also a house music showcase featuring the DJs Terry Hunter and Gene Hunt. Performances by reggae dancehall diva D'Angel. WBNA official DJ Malik Shabazz. Three-piece, Crucial Conflict, Cold Hard, and other world music acts. For tickets and more information, visit www.jsvfest.com. Eventbrite or call 312-427-0266. It's a carnival of food, music, and more. Also sponsored by NBC Chicago Telemundo, Chicago Park District, Rogers Park Fruit Market, La Frutiera, Old World Market, and yes, WVON.
This is Dr. Ansel Johnson, Clinical Director of Vision Salon Eye Care Associates, located on Western Avenue in Blue Island, Illinois. Now, no one is more passionate in providing the finest optical and medical eye care in the Chicago area. We work hard providing the best clinical care to help you see your best and look your best. Our frame collections include several black frame designers, and you can see all of our eyeglass styles online and pre-select your frame, saving time when you visit our office. If you are living with diabetes or have other eye problems, we may be able to help in ways tailored just for you. Request an appointment by calling or texting us at 708-385-0013. That's 708-385-0013. Or visit us online where you can preview our glasses at www.visionsalon.com and click Browse Eyewear.
It's the semi-annual and customer appreciation sale at Dress to Impress. Now through Labor Day, everything in the store is 50% off. For all shoe lovers, the entire dress shoe department at Dress to Impress is 50% off. All skin shoes from top brands like Meslon, David Eaton, Mari, and Belvedere shoes are half off. All business suits, fitted and fashion suits are 50% off. All blazers and sport jackets at Dress to Impress are 50% off. All slacks, wool or linen are 50% off. The entire selection of walking and casual sets are 50% off. Plus, the entire selection of big and tall at Dress to Impress is 50% off. All accessories, including dress hats, belts, ties, bow ties, cologne, and cufflinks are 50% off. The year's deepest discounts are going on now. The semi-annual and customer appreciation sale at Dress to Impress. And it's now through Labor Day. On-site alterations at all three locations. 1005 East Sibley and Dalton, 9537 Southwestern in Chicago, and 4451 West Lincoln Highway in Matteson. Dress to Impress.
Was one of your goals this summer to finally take control of your health? Well, summer's not over, and Barney's New Life Health Foods is here to help. We have 7-day, 30-day, and other detoxes to help you get on your way to better health. Regular detoxing aims to eliminate toxins from the body, including the liver. Detoxing is a good first step to weight loss and healthy habits. Don't forget, Barney's New Life Health Foods is also Chicago's alkaline water headquarters and home of the $1 per gallon alkaline water refill. That's right. Alkaline water refills are still just $1 per gallon. We're located at 3141 West Roosevelt Road in Chicago. Call us at 773-762-1090 or visit us online at nlhealthchicago.com and browse our over 1,500 products. That's Barney's New Life Health Foods, 773-762-1090.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The present has brought her, facing the rising fire. difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
We got some difficult days ahead. Dr. King was just so pathetic. He was like, he understood. But I never thought Dr. King would come to a time that pronouns was about he's and she's, and that our children, growing up, we thought education was the key. You know, music was the spice of life, and education was the key. And I don't know what happened, how our mind have gotten so weak since the death of Dr. King, and since that era. This is the first time since we've been in this country there was no discussion in the public square about black folks, black children, and the black future. It is 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, the state, and the world. You got to take that deep breath, because the heart and the mind is one. When Jesus talked about the heart, talked about the mind, it is one. We are an animal that God created that's above all animals. With a human being, our thoughts can become things. Our dreams can become reality. But if our children have no dreams and no thoughts, and we don't prick their little precious mind, what happened to them? It is 7 o'clock, and we got to go black, y'all. We got to rethink it. It is time to say black, black. Come on over to Ebony and Justin. Let's do it. Black, 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 black. And all y'all, I got a couple lines open. Those on the phone, you do it too. Black, 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 black. One more time for the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you? God, you don't take care of the children.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black.
Lord have mercy.
It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right.
Get it right, get it right, get it right.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I am beautiful. We are back with our second, our last hour, y'all, and we are talking about education. And I don't need y'all talking about, don't take me off point. We're talking about the education of our children and what do we need to do, because our children are failing. In these public schools, they are all failing. There even was an article out that most of the children in college, black students, are failing. and it's a crime because our property bill is going up. They got a surplus and still going with our property bill. They're just using us, taking our tax dollars. You think that money grew on trees? But they're putting it, and they're putting certain money in certain schools. They're giving, making sure they got the bilingual for all these folks coming here and making sure they understand math and science and English and their culture, and they're leaving our children blank. We need to do something. There's no cry out in the public square because they're waiting for their talking points to fight for schools. This is the first time in the history since we've been in this country that there was no discussion about black folks in the public square of black folks. Carter G. Woodson, when the men and stuff, Paul Robeson and all of them gathered in Washington Park, when you go all over this country, there was a discussion in the public square about black folks, whether it was Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, or Tyler the T. and somebody. And that's what we're talking about. If y'all start talking about some other stuff, I'm going to cut you off. I want you to know that. Because we have got to have this discussion in the public square. WVON, our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. We're also on Blog Talk if you miss us. But I'm going back to the phone. I'm not going to talk too long. First, I want to play my song. I'm going to play this song, I Believe the Children Are Our Future. And then I'm coming to the phone. I'm coming to the phone. How long is that song? I do too.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier.
Yes.
They
don't laugh, they don't jump rope, they don't play, they don't be, we don't have no back-to-school parties. What are they doing? Scared. Come on, y'all.
People need someone to look up to.
Yeah.
I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs.
Yeah, y'all, it's about the babies.
A lonely place.
Woo! We got to be about the babies. We live through them. Jesus said, unless you come like a little child, you can't get there. What he say? Children are the salt of the earth. So we walking around with no seasoning in our community. Yeah. That's what we take on your dignity. Yes. Yes. Greatest love of all. Let the children laugh. Let them learn. Let them be. In spite of what we've gone through, you know, it's the way we embraced our children. The way we said that we said education was important, families important. You know, I heard somebody on the TV tell me, well, we switched over because we believe in family, faith, and family. We believe in faith. And we believe in community. I'm saying we believe in all that, too. What they trying to act like that's something new? Black folks always believe that. What's wrong with us? Let me go back to the phone. I tell you, you've been waiting a long time. Maurice, how you doing?
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning.
Yeah, I mean, Whitney, she was kind of gave a simple rendition of how we, you know, the children are the future. We just ignored her good advice, it seems, so to speak, or make excuses
mm-hmm.
for our following, you know, them steps. But I was saying before the political, the mainstream that is out there, that's in front of black people, throw this ball out there, and then majority of black people go after it, but it's still in their hand, and we looking for something that ain't there. They very good at distracting us, the majority of the black community, unfortunately. Like with the Voting Rights Bill, that was a big hustle to get us off the mark. As you said, we got bigger fish to fry. I mean, the education, as you said, is key. It's always been, it's been on, should have been on the forefront, period,
mm-hmm.
across the nation. That the rights was, you know, like I said, is they have, we have these leaders that support that this,
because
you know,
most of your leadership children,
tactic.
Most of your leadership children don't go to the average school. They found these leader schools in other schools, and this is the first time in history that black leadership and black people and black women and black churches, we have the template, did not understand the importance of our children, the importance of education, the importance of community. Something have happened. I don't know what it is. We have the template. We just got to use it.
One more thing, Ms. Tillman. One more thing, Ms. Tillman. You have in the black media, not you, but a majority, they do that distraction. They throw the ball out there and watch these guys go fetch it. And they fetch and they running down this rabbit hole chasing Trump. Like Trump got something to do with now why we in this bad shape and all this other nonsense.
Oh,
and
they get what they force on being right. I told somebody the other day, they asked me, what do you think about happening to Trump? I said, what they did Trump was wrong. It's the Fourth Amendment. Dr. King told us that we got to be very careful about indulging in what's wrong because we lose the moral authority. We can't do
right,
that.
Right, but they chased them as they chased them as filming. But the what about the union? How the Democratic Union Party has railroaded black men and women out of it. Good for years. You got the fire department. You got the police department. You got the trade union.
The most racist things in the world are these trades.
Right,
the
but
most
they
racist
never,
things
they
in
don't
the world
want to
is all
face
this
it.
Stuff. And that's what folks
right.
need to be keying in on are these trades and
should,
all this stuff.
And they should have keyed in it when they did the infrastructure bill. They got all that money.
Yeah.
I think they got $1.2 trillion, and
well,
what are we going
to
get out of that?
You need to talk to them. I got to go. I thank you, Maurice. We put folks in office to look after us. And everybody who go down and look after their people, but it seems as though folks don't look after, they bring this whole stuff to us. Like, we're going to talk politics next week. Our stuff is deeper than just crime. We want to know what they're going to do about education. A whole lot of other stuff in the trades is a lot of stuff. But it's like when Laura was running, she talked about crime. And now I see somebody else coming in along the same way. But we're going to talk about that. Thank you for calling, and thank you for holding for so long. Thank you for holding, Frank.
Thank you, Ms. Tillman. For saying what you were saying, I agree with everything you said this morning. Thank you for laying out. Only thing I disagree with you on when you said that you don't have the answer, what we're going to do about what's going on here. Yes, you do, Ms. Tillman. You laid out the answer perfectly, exactly what y'all did and got the attention that it got and made the changes. Yes, you do have the answer, Ms. Tillman.
But you know what, Frank, do you know the Mollis and parents were sued for $10 million? They sued us. The principal association, you can go look it up. The principal association sued me and the Mollison parents for $10 million. We was in court. And we
was
before, wait, Frank, we was before
okay.
Judge Ann Williams. We won that. And
I thank
and
you.
And our whole jury was white. And I remember.
Thank you.
I remember one of the people that was in the court said, we ain't going to win this. I said, truth prevail. And when they saw how much we fought for our children, that jury rendered us a victory. He told, give me Stevens, I'm a dollar. But the principal association sued the Mollison parents for $10 million because we was fighting for our babies.
Ms. Tillman, that all-white jury knew that y'all was doing the exact same thing that they do and will do if wrong was being done to their kids. And let me just finish by saying this, Ms. Tillman. I love Mama D, but she overlooking something very important, and that's just by here. The law of nature dictates any species that refuses or fails to adapt to the changes in this environment will go extinct.
Thank you. They are
teaching kids Spanish in school. My son was learning in preschool.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with learning. I think she's talking about something else, though. That
now,
you shouldn't say no.
Not there,
I think
Mama D
is saying that you have not taught the children, and this country is a country of English, and you gonna tell these
exactly.
folks. They cannot get a job because they're not bilingual. That's what you're talking about. Thank you, Frank.
Exactly. No, but here's the deal, though, Ms. Tillman. Why come we can't learn? You can download.
Oh, she didn't say we could learn. Frank, I got to go. I got to defend Mama D. She didn't say we couldn't learn. She's talking about the law and who we are. We can learn anything. We can. We
exactly.
Thank you, Frank. I got to go, Frank, I love you, but I got to go, baby. I got to go. I love him dearly, but I got to go. I tell you. Ooh, Jesus. Kurt.
Yes. How are we doing today?
I'm fine, Kurt.
Yeah, I think our confusion, the last caller, we always getting off the mark. I think we like getting off the mark. I think we like right now is critical race theory. And then it was, before that, it was Confederate flag. Before that, it was kneeling at football.
Hey, Frank, well, I mean, wait, I want you to hold up and I want to read something to you. I want the audience here, too, so hold up. It says, this is what the state legislature passed. It's enacted this school year 2022 and 23. They made the Illinois first state in the country to mark Asian American history requirement in the public school curriculum, titled as the Teaching Equity Asian American History Act. The new section of the study in the Illinois school code would take full effect during the 22 and 23 academic year. And these are some specific things they must do. They must be taught the contribution of Asian American towards the advancement of civil rights from the 19th century onward, the contribution by individual Asian American in government, art, humanity, and science, the contribution of Asian American community to the economic, cultural, social, and political development of the United States. Now, that's what they all our kids got to learn this, which makes them further inferior. They got to learn this starting this school year, and then they give us 1619. They will not implement the bill that Senator Shaw and Brookings passed to teach black history in the schools, to pull some things together and to teach our history. And those black state reps and state senators voted on it. Then they'll give us the 1619 bill. I'm back.
Yeah. All that. We may have to, on our own, teach 1619 within the black community.
We better teach black history, who we are, what we've done, and how we built this country, and how we built it. This is our country, because the black folks don't understand that this is ours. That's how they're being used. Thank you, Frank. They're being used because they don't understand all we did, our history. I'm saying it's our history. It's our history. But you're going to go and say that Asian history must be taught starting this school year. Their civil rights. You know what they contribute in the science of humanity? What do we do? It's a shame. It's really a shame. Brother Jones? Going once, going
Grand Rising, twice. Grand Rising, you mighty race.
Brother,
how you doing, Miss Tillman?
I'm fine, Brother Jones.
Oh, you are sent from the Most High Heaven from above. The time and the topic you speaking on, it is the Redeemer, the new date that you have given us with your breath, the think clarity of a think tank that our ancestors are strong and mighty. That's why I state again, Grand Rising, you mighty race.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. That don't need no answer. I'll tell you, telephone just ringing, and everything you keep on, we'll get you and Justin over there. Hello. Who is this? Chris.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
How you doing?
Good. And with the media has always been garbage. In the words of Malcolm X, it can make the guilty look innocent, the innocent look guilty.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to piggyback, you said you felt that they violated the former president's Fourth Amendment rights?
No, I was talking about this. I was just mentioning that we have to always keep up with the Fourth. We cannot get sidetracked. Dr. King always said keep the moral authority, and that's why we got to teach our children a constitution. I'm talking about us right now. I'm not going down there to discuss Trump or Biden. I'm talking about the education of our children right now. I was talking about the Fourth Amendment.
Great book from the 80s, I forgot her name, by Ms. Netherby, about the dumbing down of America. So when we send our kids to these schools, we have to supplement their education outside of the curriculum in the class.
Well, I think parents are doing that, but they have those children that have been in hours, and we are paying taxes, and they should learn math, reading, writing, and all other stuff, not your pronouns or the sex and all that. No, you have a right. That's why we fought at Mollison, because you have the right. Look at that curriculum. They need to go see what it is. What are you supplementing if they're not teaching?
They need the music piece, the intellectualness. They took out the, what you call it, gym, so the kids can let off steam.
Yeah.
And
signs, periodic tables,
yeah.
Math.
Yeah.
They're teaching them about sex, changing sex and all that stuff.
They basically teaching our kids how to count and work in a factory, but us as parents, we got to supplement.
They're not even teaching them how to work in a factory. They're teaching them how to be, they're teaching them to be functionally illiterate. So they
yes,
can,
ma'am.
You know, they're not teaching them working in no factories. They're
no,
turning out functionally illiterate students.
Basic reading, basic math, and nothing to think out, critical thinking, nothing to think outside the box. When, after 2 years from high school, I was working at this corporate company. I learned more in the last 2 years than I learned probably pretty much my whole life.
Well, that's called hands-on. That's called learning like that. That's how we should have those. We can repurpose some of these schools right now and start doing vocational education, other training. We can do that. They are doing that with other people that are coming into this country. These companies are bringing them aboard and teaching them all kinds of things.
We need Saturday school for our kids so they're not hanging out. They need like Saturday school and other things to do.
Well, the churches
them.
And everybody got to do more than coming.
Yeah.
The church doors got to open. You know, we got to drop our buckets where we stand. I tell you, Chris, thank you so sweet. Drop our buckets, y'all. Okay over there. Okay, I'm going to get you over there, Ms. Ebony. Okay, let me, okay. I ain't heard from Randy in a little while. I miss you, Randy. I tried to get your call back. Ron.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I listened to you talk this boy the whole hour, and you never mentioned vocation. And
yes,
we
I
need
did
to
talk about vocational. You missed that.
Well,
we talked about vocational training.
I listened for the first hour from 6 to...
Well, you know, we got to do vocational, and we need to repurpose some of these schools. That's very important.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
I remember in the early 80s when you was on the come up, Dorothy, the majority of the black concrete finishers and concrete laborers that worked in the black community was black men.
Well, you know,
because
I fought for
that.
I went and fought to make sure that it did that. But, you know, the vocational training is very important. Those are some of the things they began to move when we were fighting these parents and they began to pull parents out of the schools and stuff. They slowly closed the vocational schools.
All these different agencies around talking about they and providing vocations to training, and then when these young men go in there and young women to get jobs, they end up working at Amazon, Walmart,
uh-huh,
and Home Depot.
Uh-huh.
For
you get no
age.
Fight for me, baby, on this, because I think we
and
need.
A concrete finisher is making $55 an hour today, and a laborer is making $42 an hour.
No, you get no fight for me, Ron, because when I was in office, they knew not to bring new. They better bring black folks over here. And there are times that we went and shut some of the sites down because it was not black folks. You got to have the heart to fight. But we do need vocational. We need vocational training, and we need to repurpose some of these schools. There's a lot. And I talked about the artisan trades. If you heard me, you understand what the artisan trades are. I said we got to train our children in the artisan trades. You might not have understood, but I did talk about it.
And I'm going to say this. And closing, the women is running these school systems. And yeah, I said women. And they're not talking anything, mentioning vocation in any of their conversations. They're always talking about STEM education. And I'm closing at that.
Well, you know, you only got about, 7% black folks in the schools now. You need to know that. Okay, thank you, Ron. It's 7% or 8% of our teachers. They don't have the Miss Mingos and all them folks we had when you was in school. But you got to remember, some of these other schools, like these schools they setting up with all these folks coming here, they teaching them. And our children, they want our children to think that they got to dumb it down the math, dumb it down this. You being held back because this person is that. It's really bad. It's really, really bad. Y'all hold on in there. She going to get you. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to get Ebony, Lance. Lance, how you doing?
I'm doing exceptionally well. Grace and peace be upon you, my sister, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome back. Excellent subject
thank you.
Matter as always. I'm going to quote one of our past presidents or legislators. Benjamin Franklin said that learning happens in many different environments, and I subscribe to that particular notion. I believe that blacks and I'm just speaking about black people, the black community needs to go ahead and build a confederation with our churches, our mosques, and civic groups, okay, and get this particular education piece, back together. We
I
can do it.
I bet we can. I agree.
Yes, and one thing, yes, and one thing, one mistake that we make, we, give out too much information over the airwaves when we have our oppressors listening in, and every time we have something good that we're going to do, okay, with our people to propel our people, they hear about it and they put another obstacle.
Wait, Lance, no. Dr. King said, Mr. Charlie, know what you're doing anyway. And one of the things you do when you deal with the truth of nonviolence don't matter. And when you got your plan together, you work it, it doesn't matter whether they hear it or not. But you got to be on one accord because they know anyway. You ain't doing nothing in secret. We used to go and tell them, we're going to march today and we're going to kick your butt. We got the plan. We know you got people in here listening. So you be dealing with them from a nonviolent perspective. You lay it out and you work your plan.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. However, where I take a little bit of disagreement is we don't tell our oppressor all of the things that we're doing. I think those particular issues need to be discussed among ourselves in this particular confederation that we need to build. So, again, just like generals, they don't tell all the secrets, over the air, to their enemies and things of this nature. And you have to subscribe to that same notion. But, yes, nonviolence is very important.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, and welcome back.
Thank you. You know, I didn't mention early on about Prince Arcel, who made this transition last week. Everybody come back and close the door. Prince Arcel made his transition. You know, when you look and you think about that era, you think about that era of the all of us came coming on different roads but working on behalf of black folks. Prince Arcel came down that road. We was all working on behalf of black folks. So his wake is September the 1st, at least, at 7 p.m. His funeral is at Trinity, September the 2nd at 9:30. So make a note, Prince Arcel, I tell you, I think they're waiting for all of those of us who was coming on that road to move forward, trying to move our black folks. So we didn't, everybody came down different roads, but it was for the liberation of black people, and we got to get back with that. My spirit and my prayers go out to Prince Arcel family and his bigger family, the Hebrew Israelites. Shalom. Okay. Let me go back to the phone. Lewis.
Good morning, Miss Tillman.
Good morning.
When you look outside your door and you see all that destruction out there, that came from illiteracy. The way they took our land from us was through illiteracy, and they are still taking it. When you listen to Maria Pappas every Monday, she tells you, you know, that there's 31,000 houses that are delinquent in property taxes. She says she sent out 31,000 notices, and only 16,000 came back.
Okay.
And the way they take your property away from you is through your failure to read your tax bill.
Yeah, we'll talk about property one day, because I tell you, but I want to stay on education right now. We're going to talk about the property. I know what's going on. We paying our property tax for education, our property tax for everything. We get the less of anything, and people just taking advantage of us, and we have to do something about it. Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Ms. Tillman.
Thank you so much. Akufu.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm stress-free. I ain't got no problem.
You heard what I said about Prince Arcel. I announced his waking.
I used to try to help him, get him right herbally. The problem with us people is when we get some knowledge and try to share it with our own people, we don't take it. Other people take it. Okay?
Okay, what you want to talk about? You want to talk about education now?
We're going to talk about education. My education came from at home at first. My father taught me how to change oil. My
mm-hmm.
father taught me how to grow a garden.
Mm-hmm.
My father taught me how to build a house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Real talk, ain't it? Now, school was an extension for me to get a job. okay?
Just to get
these
a
people
job.
Are not going to these people are not going to educate us to get a business to start a business.
What are you saying we should be doing, Kufa? Because I'm running out of time and I got a bull line.
Okay, us women and men, what are we doing? I'm on the internet. We need to teach ourselves how to create businesses, jobs,